Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating, where I'm continuing to dive into helping you change your patterns that hold you hostage with your eating around this Thanksgiving time period. This episode is no different, and I'll continue to encourage you to dive in, listen up, and help yourself change so that you can become all you want to become this holiday season and now and forever. More. And check out www.wendyfrancis.com to look at our new resources. We've got a lot on that page available for you. Taking advantage of it during this time can serve you now and forever. Tonight, I want to focus on a few things because it is the week of Thanksgiving. So always the week of Thanksgiving, I like to focus on giving thanks. And what that looks like with our food, realistically. And also follow back around with some things we've talked about over the last few weeks as we've gotten ready for this week. This week kind of being the beginning of the Super Bowl, so to speak, of food. And how we give thanks a lot on Thanksgiving revolves around food. For those of you that are on plan or on maintenance, at any level of trying to change your food, change your life, change the way you look at food, change the way you feel about food, the more food that's around, the more difficult that can be. So I'm here to help you work and weed through that process. And a few weeks ago, as we began this series regarding Thanksgiving and the holidays, I actually talked about Thanksgiving Day and how you might want to do it different this year, if you remember that, kind of in my 30,000-mile view talk, that a call that we did a few weeks ago. So for those of you that weren't on the line, what I asked everybody to do was to really think about last year's Thanksgiving and what, in fact, you wanted to be the same from last year's Thanksgiving. And what, in fact, you might want to be different. Different in the way that you may have interacted with certain people, different in the place that you maybe went for Thanksgiving, different in the way that you ate or what you ate. And whatever way you wanted it to be different, what does that look like? And then what would you need to do to have that happen? So by now, most people know where they're going or what they're doing for the holiday. Whether they're going to certain family members or people are coming over, they're going to a certain friend's house or a certain restaurant. Most people have made plans, not all, but most. And so if you already have that outlined, if it comes down to more of the food or the eating patterns or things of that nature, I hope you have outlined that as well. What will that look like this year? Will you bring some of your own food if you're on plan? Or if you're hosting at your house, will you host and have the foods that are on plan and healthful for you available? I hope so, so that you can be empowered. One of the things that happens on holidays is people become disempowered because they don't bring things if they're going out. They don't bring things that they can eat that they're comfortable with that are on plan that are healthful for their body. And interestingly enough, you know, if we, I had a client actually mention this, you know, if somebody has diabetes or somebody has a chronic illness and they have to eat certain food to take care of their body, to keep them healthful, nobody really looks down upon that. In fact, most people really support that. It's no different for your body. If you're really trying to move into an anti-inflammatory status and help your body move into a fat-burning mode and get your body more healthful, whether that's, you know, decreasing your medications if you are on certain medications that are affected by your diet, or needing more mobility, that's no different. And you want to empower yourself to be able to keep yourself in the know and keep yourself in your own power in bringing what you need to keep yourself on track this holiday season, or this Thanksgiving, I should say. We'll talk more about December in December, right? Let's just focus on this week. So please, if you didn't do that exercise, please do it now, because we have just a few days left until Thanksgiving. And if there are certain things that you knew threw you off track last year, reasons that you ate too much, what you overate on, what that looked like, or whose it was, or what house you're at. If you're going to the same house, you're having the same people over, and that chocolate pudding pie is going to be there, and that's the thing that you had four pieces of last year, then please take some proactive steps to change that, to alter that. Just because it happened last year doesn't mean it needs to be your destiny this year. There are a few things that you can do, coping skills and strategies I talked about week before last, on what to do that day, activities to be planned, whether you look at a turkey trot in the morning, or going on a hike in the afternoon, maybe having a board game Lollapalooza, so to speak, after the meal, so that there is something before and something after that meal. One of those things being active that can help increase endorphins and serotonin naturally, that can really help rebalance and recalibrate hormonal levels, insulin and glucagon as well for many people. So there's lots of reasons to kind of be outside that day, depending on where you live, what the environment or climate is like. But if you can get outside that morning and go out for whether it be a run, a walk, a hike, a horseback ride, whatever you love to do, can really help keep your energy up, keep your endorphins up, and that can help calibrate you throughout the whole day. So really consider that piece. And if there's other things that you know with respect to that food piece, one of the things that I love, strategies that I've taught clients for years, is if there is a long-standing meal, like a buffet, there's a number of strategies you can use to help you move through that time and keep yourself grounded. First and foremost, when you walk in to that meal, now if you walk in and you hang out for the day at somebody's house, then this just goes for that initial onset of when everything gets out on the table and you're staring at 20 things down this long table line trying to decide, what do I do? I love that, but I'm not supposed to eat that, et cetera, et cetera. Look at all the things that you can eat that are on your plan. Now, if you've brought things, there should be a few things there. If you knew that the host was making certain things, then hopefully you have those there. And focus on those first. That's what you're going to fill your plate up with. Obviously, turkey is on plan. Any kind of vegetables or salad would be on plan. Where I find most people struggle, honestly, when it comes to Thanksgiving or other holidays, is in the dessert arena. Because not everybody puts out fresh fruit for dessert in our country. In France, yes. Here, no. So that would be a good, if you have the invite to someone else's house, make some desserts on plan and bring those so that you have something really good and yummy as well that's on plan. That's a fruit base. So it's pretty easy to balance that meal then, between the turkey and some different kind of vegetables. And you can make some fun vegetables as sides. You know, you can do butternut squash soup. You can even do some broth-based vegetable soups to start the meal with. And that can also help keep you feeling warm and nurtured and nourished before a large meal like that. So that's when you first look at that table, you want to pinpoint, instead of focusing on, oh, I can't have that and I can't have that, What I want you to start with is, oh, look, I can have that and I can eat that and that's okay and that's okay. Don't focus on what you can't have. Whenever we do that, there are so many emotional feelings tied to that. It's astounding. If somebody tells me I can't do something or I can't have something, there's a lot of emotions that come up even for me, and I can recognize them. So recognize what it does. Some people get really angry and frustrated, and other people feel really childlike and feel small and little and want to be submissive, but underneath that, they're really angry. So there's a whole host of underlying emotions that happen when we tell ourselves we can't have something. Don't focus on what you can't have. Focus on what you can have. And it's a truth in life too, right? If we walk around focusing on what we can't have, you know, when I was young and I was an adolescent in high school, I remember I had this thing with my height. I'm, for those of you who have met me or seen me, you know that I'm not really a tall woman. I'm about 5'2", maybe 5'2 and a half on a good day. And for some reason, when I was in high school, this was my nemesis. My mom was 5'7". I think my dad was 5'10". I really felt like it was my destiny to be 5'7", and I was never there. And so my height was something I always focused on, what I couldn't have. I can never be taller. And the truth is, I really can't be, right? When you look at height, it's not anything you can really change. And I always focused on that, and actually was a source of insecurity for me. When I started to realize as I got older what I did have, what I actually do have, it totally detracts now from me ever even looking at my height. In fact, it's rare that I feel insecure or insignificant, and I'm still the same height that I was in high school, right? So just like in life, when we focus on what we can't have, it makes us feel terrible. Sometimes angry, sometimes frustrated, sometimes submissive, sometimes little. Lots and lots of different emotions, but it doesn't ever make us feel good. Let's put it that way. So when you look at that Thanksgiving table, look at what you can have. Look at what you can eat and focus on those things. And then as you go down the line and you put those things that you can have on your plate and you go and you sit down and you eat them, one, sit down with people that you enjoy. If you're at, you know, a large family gathering, make sure you get a pivotal seat next to someone that you really like, because you're going to strike up a conversation with them. What you want to really focus on Thanksgiving, as it is for all holidays, I believe, is on the connection with the other party, the other people in the room. And that connection is what you want to really be tied into, as opposed to connecting with the food. When we're around people that we don't connect with, maybe we don't like, we connect much more with the food in front of us. So on this day, it's imperative that you try to get that seat next to your favorite aunt whom you love, that makes you laugh hysterically. Because the more joy you bring to yourself on this day, the easier it is to eat according to what you need to, because the focus is off the food and it's onto the connection with other human beings. Part of what happens for us in life is we lose those connections as we get older, and we find it so much easier to connect with inanimate things like food. So on this day, practice connecting with other people and make it a point when you're eating to sit next to those people that you really want to connect with, that really keep you, one, feeling supported, and two, maybe keep you laughing through that meal so that you really have that good feeling while you're doing that. Once you're done, don't go back up and get more. Go and throw that plate out if it's a disposable one. If it's not, please don't throw it out. The host will get mad at you. But throw your plate out and take a break. What I mean by that, if you can go out back and there's people sitting out back, go out back and talk to people. If there's nobody out back and you need a break, go out back and listen to a song on your phone. Say you've got to return a phone call. You don't have to return one. Go out back and listen to a song on your phone. Don't start flipping Facebook or Instagram because that makes your brain move fast, and then most likely you'll go back in and grab some more food. Listen to some music that you love, you know, a podcast that you like. Breathe in some fresh air and try to ground yourself before you even consider going back up to that table. Most people, that first plate is fairly reasonable. It's when people keep going back up and back up and back up that it gets unreasonable for most people. So consider that. That's break time. And that could be where you bring out a board game. I do like, if you can, get outside for a few minutes. It really does help increase oxygen to the brain. And when we get more oxygen to our brain, we slow down. That's why we yawn sometimes, because we need more oxygen. So get outside, out front, out back, take in some deep breaths, listen to some music, or if there's people sitting outside, go and sit outside for a few minutes. Focus on connecting with other people. If there's nobody out there, take a break out there anyway for 5 or 8 minutes. You'll find that, one, your stomach starts to settle, you'll start to feel that fullness pattern kick in, and that's the time where you can actually move into some gratitude. Now, not everybody practices gratitude every day, although I recommend it highly, because they're finding more and more studies. In fact, I actually found a study that, let me see if I can find this again. I actually found a study that had a compilation of a number of studies that linked gratitude and health together, which is so interesting. There's a lot of research that shows that just being in the experience of gratitude, we know it can induce a sense of relaxation, but in that they're finding, obviously, it can decrease blood pressure, it can improve the immune system, it can help lower our respiration and heart rate as we feel more gratitude. We can't feel gratitude and fear at the same time. Just like we can't feel gratitude and anger at the same time. So after that meal, if you take a break, that's a great time to really think about what you were grateful for in that meal. Doesn't have to be the food. It can be the smile that your aunt gave you. It could be sitting down and talking with your cousin while you ate. It could be a number of things that happened prior to the meal, but that's the time you can take to actually express your gratitude. We also know that most grateful people, this is an interesting research study, they found that when they looked at all these different people, that grateful people are the people that practice gratitude actively tend to cultivate better health habits, like eating more nutritious food, exercising, and avoiding risky behaviors, which is interesting to me. And we also know that there's a lot of optimism that stems from gratitude, right? So research shows that people with an optimistic attitude also have better outcomes after medical procedures. So some really interesting research coming out about gratitude and health. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. We also know that gratitude can help with resilience. So if you've had a hard day on Thanksgiving, and maybe not with your food, but maybe with some family members or some friends, that we know that just taking those moments to feel grateful can help you be more resilient in that. It helps shift our focus from the negative to the positive, right? The focus from what we can't have or can't change to what we do have. And in that, we help increase our resilience. So if you don't practice thanks on Thanksgiving as a whole, depending on where you go, then practice it on your own. And right after the meal is a great time to do it. However, if you do practice gratitude with your family, here's some other fun ways to do it that I found, which I thought were really interesting. obviously saying grace before you eat with more of a thanks, even if you don't, if you're not religious and you don't say grace as a religious fashion, you can say what you're grateful for, and everyone can pass, you know, pass around and say what they're grateful for before eating. You can also pass around a gratitude basket. You can give everyone a sheet of paper and pencil, ask each person to write one thing down that they feel grateful for, and put that basket around. And then everybody can, you have that at the beginning of the meal, and you can pull out those sheets of paper before you begin eating. So people can take their time thinking about what they're grateful for prior to that meal, write it down, and then you have that basket, the head of the table kind of reads that gratitude basket. Yeah. Thanksgiving show and tell. I thought this was a really fun thing to do. You can ask everyone that's coming to your meal, or if you're going to someone's house, you can offer this to the host. Ask everyone to bring along something that reflects what they're thankful for that year. Then each person in turn can share it with the group and tell their story. So it could be an item, a photo, a song, or any other item that might illustrate the point of what they're grateful for, which I thought was really a neat idea. And finally, one of the things I love to do on Thanksgiving, and I do this a lot with my children even now, because I think so often we kind of lose the meaning of Thanksgiving and kind of how it began. I do teach my children every year over and over again, because, you know, they forget, just like I forget, you know, of kind of why Thanksgiving began, how it started, what it means. And obviously I break that down because they're younger. But we talk a lot about that. And then we might also read a Thanksgiving book as a group. There's a number of books that are out there. Some are fictional stories about the day. Some are stories of just gratitude. I kind of like hero stories. And so it might be a short book that we look at that's a hero story. We might watch a hero, what I call a hero story movie that day, depending on the day and what's going on. But lots of ways that you can practice gratitude as a family or as a friendship that can help keep you in that attitude of gratitude on Thanksgiving Day. And in doing that, you bring yourself more present into the moment. And when we're more present, we eat differently than if we're not. If we're rushed and we're hurried, it is likely that we will overeat, not be present, eat more later on, et cetera, et cetera. So the more that you can stay present and grounded and slow down this Thanksgiving, the easier the food is to eat, the more comfortable it is, and the better outcome you'll have.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.